I'm starting a new series tonight, and the name of the series is What Should You Do When? And we've got four parts of this. What should you do when? And tonight is, what should you do when somebody really hurts you? Next week, we're going to talk about what should you do when somebody's really out to get you. Ooh, that'll be good. But somebody else does it to you, and it's not accidental, and it's not coincidental, and it's not by mistake, but somebody deliberately, on purpose, with malice, goes out of their way to hurt you. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, that's what we want to talk about tonight, because I'm starting a new series tonight, and the name of the series is What Should You Do When? And we've got four parts of this. What should you do when? And tonight is, what should you do when somebody really hurts you? Next week, we're going to talk about what should you do when somebody's really out to get you. Ooh, that'll be good. Bring your boss. What should you do that? Now, the week after that, we're going to talk about what should you do when God makes no sense. You ever had one of those situations where it just seems like God makes no sense in this situation? He's got no idea what's going on. And the fourth one is, what should you do when God asks you to do something that the world looks at and says, this is stupid. This is foolish. So that's kind of what we're going to do here, and I'll keep telling you about it. But tonight, we want to talk about hurt, betrayal, to the kind of hurt that somebody does to you that, man, you just can't. I mean, it's not funny after it's all over. It's not at all humorous. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want you to take a Bible, if you brought one, and I want you to open it to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians. Now, if you didn't bring a Bible, that's okay. We've got a copy that we'll let you borrow right on the back of the seat in front of you. And we're going to be on page 829 to start. Page 829, or Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn there. And I want to show you two verses of Scripture that answer the question, what should we do when we've been hurt like this? Here's the first one, Ephesians chapter 4. Look at the very last verse in the chapter, okay? Ephesians chapter 4, here we go. Look at verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. And I want you to flip over just a couple pages to the book of Colossians. It's page 834, five pages over if you're using our copy of the Bible. Colossians chapter 3. And Paul's going to say almost the same thing here, just in slightly different words. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Look what he says here. Verse 13, Colossians 3, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. To sum it up in one word, what should you and I do when we've been hurt really bad? In one word, forgive. Forgive. And this is the response that God is looking for from every one of us to everyone that's hurt us, regardless of what they've done to us in any situation. This is what God wants from us. Now, you and I both know, don't we, that the number one first human reaction is not to forgive. True? The first human reaction is to do the exact opposite. I ran into an interesting article in the paper, and some of you may be too young to remember Joe Frazier. You remember Joe Frazier fought Muhammad Ali, the Thriller in Manila? He was the gorilla in the Thriller in Manila. Well, you know, I'm dating myself. But anyway, Muhammad Ali, he taunted this man. He ridiculed this man. He insulted this man. He held this man up to public shame. He called him a white man's Uncle Tom. He said he was fighting for the white man while he, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, was representing the black man. It was an incredible PR campaign. And then he took him in and he beat him in the ring 2 out of 3 times. Well, as you know, Muhammad Ali's not doing too good these days, is he? And when he was given the opportunity to carry the torch and light the Olympic flame, Joe Frazier appeared in the paper. And you want to know what he said? He said Muhammad Ali should never have been picked to light the Olympic flame. And he went on to say that even though it's 25 years later, he is still totally driven by his hatred, his bitterness, and his resentment of Muhammad Ali. It says here, listen to what he said. I'm just going to read a couple lines to you. He says, a lot of people want me to feel sorry for Ali because he's sick. He said, why should I feel sorry for him? He called me the gorilla. He insulted me. He never gave anybody a break. He beat up people not only physically, but he beat them up mentally, and he beat them up in every other way. He didn't feel sorry for anybody. Why should I feel sorry for him? And then he goes on to say, I still get on my knees and pray. And he said, you know what I pray for Muhammad Ali? He said, I pray for God to handicap him. And God answered my prayer. Whoa. I wouldn't call that forgiveness, would you? This is the human spirit, folks. The three R's. They are resentment, reproach, and revenge. That's the normal reaction of the human spirit. Resentment, reproach, and retaliation, revenge. I'm going to get him in any way I can. If I have to pray for God to cripple him, I'll pray for God to cripple him. I'm going to get him back. And let's be honest about it, huh? If you've really been hurt bad by somebody, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a father, a mother, somebody at work, whatever, let's be really honest with each other now. It's true, isn't it, that that's the first thing you and I feel, Christian or not, towards people who hurt us. Now, in stark contrast to that, God tells us, what does he say here in Colossians 3? Forgive, just as the Lord forgave you. So I want to spend the rest of the time I've got this evening talking to you about some practical questions about forgiveness. How do we do this? What's it all about? What is forgiveness anyway? How can you and I make this real in our lives, okay? First of all, what is forgiveness anyway? We have a lot of talk about it. But what really is it? Forgiveness, friends, is an act of the will. Would you notice I didn't say anything about emotions or anything about how you feel? Forgiveness has nothing to do with how you feel. It is an act of the will. It is a conscious, volitional decision that you and I make that we're going to do something. And what are we going to do? What we're going to do is we're going to let that other person off the hook. What we're going to do is we're going to absolve that other person. What we're going to do is we're going to dig a 6-foot hole, and we're going to take what they did to us and put it in that hole, and then we're going to cover that hole back up with dirt, and we're going to put a tombstone on top of it, and we're going to declare it dead and gone forever. That's forgiveness. Forgiveness means that I make up my mind to do three things. Never to bring it up again to God, never to bring it up again to that other person, and never to bring it up again to myself. That's forgiveness. It means to wipe the slate clean, to burn the bill of particulars, to catch permanent amnesia when it comes to what that person did to you. And it is an act of the will. You say, Alon, I got a real problem with this. You're telling me that I'm supposed to say it's okay what they did to me? What they did to me is okay? Is that what you're asking me to say? No. Mm-mm. I'm not asking you to say what they did to you was okay. What they did to you was not okay. It hurt you. What I'm asking you to say is what they did to me wasn't okay then, but it's okay now. It wasn't okay then, but because I've forgiven them, it's okay now. That's forgiveness. And friends, it is not a feeling. It is an act of the will. We make up our mind to do this. If you wait till you feel like forgiving, you will never forgive. But you can make up your mind to forgive another person. You say, well, all right, I got another question for you. And that is, why should I? I don't want it. Why should I do this? I got three quick reasons. Number one, because God commands us. Would you look right here in Colossians 3? Look what it says here. It says, Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. And please, if you would be so kind, and if it agrees with you, and if you would be willing to see it possible to do me a special favor, God says, forgive the way the Lord forgave you. Do you see any of that stuff there? I don't. And you know why? Because this isn't a suggestion and it's not a request. It's a command. If you're a Christian, forgiveness is not optional. It's obligatory. It's required. God says we are to bear with each other and we are to forgive one another as the Lord forgave you. And the reason, first reason I can give you why you and I should forgive, simply because Jesus Christ commands us to. But there's a second reason. And it's related to the fact that many people, when I tell them that, go, but you don't understand. They don't deserve to be forgiven. I mean, they don't deserve to be granted that. I was reading, there's a real interesting book. It's written by a guy named Simon Wiesenthal. He was a German guy, and he was in the concentration camps during World War II. He wrote a book called The Sunflower. And in this book, he talks about how when he was in the concentration camp, one night, one of the guards came to get him and took him into the infirmary. And in the infirmary was a young German soldier who was dying. He had obviously been injured in some way. Wiesenthal didn't know how. But he was dying. He had blood all over him. He had severe head wound. And Wiesenthal wondered, well, why did they bring me in here? I'm a prisoner in the concentration. What am I doing in here? And the lady that brought him in, the nurse, said that he asked to see a Jew. So I brought you. And he went over to the soldier, and the soldier reached out and grabbed this Jewish man's hand. And here's what he said to him. He said, you know, years ago, when we first invaded Poland, he said, I was part of an army unit that burned a town down. He said, and as we set the houses on fire, and as Jewish men and Jewish women and Jewish children jumped out of second and third floor windows to safety, I stood in the street and I gunned them down one by one in cold blood. He said, now I'm dying. He said, and I needed to see a Jew and ask him to forgive me before I died. And Wiesenthal, who was still holding the man's hand, said, I threw the man's hand down in disgust. And I turned back, and without saying a word, I walked out the room, because he said, I decided that man didn't deserve to be forgiven. And in the book, he says that in later years, he asked 30 prominent Jewish leaders if he did what was right. And all 30 of them said, yes, you did. A man like that doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I'll bet you there's some people in your life that you feel don't deserve to be forgiven. So why should you? Here's reason number two. Look what it says here in Colossians chapter 3. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now see, I wish God hadn't have said that. Because if he'd have just said forgive, I could have said, well, the person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I'm not doing it. But when he says forgive as the Lord forgave me, then I got a problem. Because you know what? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for my sin, I didn't deserve to be forgiven either. So if God's telling me to forgive the way the Lord forgave me, then what that means is it doesn't matter whether a person deserves to be forgiven. I forgave you, Jesus said, when you didn't deserve to be forgiven. Now what I'm asking you to do is to forgive that other person. And all right, so maybe they don't deserve to be forgiven. So what? So what? What if I'd have said that about you? I'd just like to take a moment and say here that if you're with us tonight, and you've never trusted Christ in a real and personal way as your Savior, and you're trying to get to the place where you're deserving enough to be forgiven, forget it. It's not going to happen. You can do all the good works you want to do. You can help all the old ladies across the street you want to. You can work with the United Way. You can go down and serve the homeless. You can do anything you can think of. You will never reach the place that in the sight of a holy God you deserve to be forgiven. The neat thing about real Christianity is Jesus Christ died on the cross and forgave your sin when you didn't deserve to be forgiven. That's the neat thing about it. And he's offering to keep on forgiving you even though you don't deserve to be forgiven. That's the neat part about it. And all he's asking you to do is give up trying to be deserving and just let him forgive you. Just accept what he's offering. If you've never done that, that's my challenge to you this evening. Even though you're undeserving, let God forgive you anyway. That's what he wants to do. Now, for those of us who are Christians and who know what that means and who have experienced that forgiveness, now God says to us, okay, now it doesn't matter whether anybody deserves to be forgiven or not. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Jesus said, freely you've received. Now freely give. And it applies to a lot of things, but forgiveness is one of them. Third and final reason, because third, not only does God command it, and not only because, yeah, in light of what God did for you, do you have the right to do anything for other people different? But third and finally, because refusing to forgive will screw your life up. How about that? It will screw your life up. Let me show you one more passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12. Our copy of the Bible is page 853. Hebrews chapter 12, towards the end of the New Testament. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, and look with me at verse 15. Verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, page 853. Look at it with me. Here's what it says. It says, Hebrews 12:15, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness, no bitter root, grow up in your life to cause trouble and defile many. Now, is that an interesting statement? What does he mean that if bitterness grows up in our life, not only will it cause us trouble, but it will defile many? You know what that means? It means that when we become bitter people, not only will all the joy in our life dry up, not only will our relationship with God dry up, not only will our own ability to be healthy, whole people dry up. That'll happen. But beyond that, because we become those kind of people, we are going to defile lots of other people, like our children and our children's children. And people at work and friends who have relationships with us. That bitterness is going to mess all kinds of other people up. Not to mention you. I remember I've quoted this to you before. But the president of this, not the president, I guess he's the director of this very famous British hospital, said that he could release half his patients tomorrow if he could settle the issue of forgiveness with them. You know, that's why they're in the shrink house, because of this whole issue of forgiveness. If you and I will make up our minds to forgive other people, one, we'll be obeying God. Two, we'll be honoring God by forgiving the way the Lord forgave us. And number three, we will keep our lives out of a lot of trouble and keep a lot of other people's lives out of a lot of trouble. You say, Lon, okay, listen, I'm kind of with you here, but you know what? My problem is not that I'm not willing. My problem is I don't think I can. I mean, how do I do this? If you had been hurt the way I've been hurt, I'm not sure that you in your little ivory tower up there really appreciate how I've been hurt and what happened to me. And it's easy for you to stand up there and just say forgive, but how do I do this when the hurt is so deep that I don't know how to forgive? It's a good question. Let me answer that. In closing, how do you forgive? Remember, forgiveness is an act of what? The will. It's not a feeling. It's an act of the will. It's something you can make up your mind to do. And what I have learned is if I make up my mind before God that I'm going to forgive, maybe at this exact moment in time, I can't do it 100%, but I make up my mind, I want to forgive. I am going to forgive by the grace of God. I want forgiveness to happen in my life. You know what I have found? I have found that supernaturally, in a way I cannot explain to you, but nonetheless it's real, God Himself honors that, and God heals, and God gives you the ability to forgive. Now you say, how does He do it, Lon? I don't know. You know, what exactly mechanism does... I don't know. All I know is when I make up my mind to obey and honor God by forgiving, God says, okay, now, Lon, if you mean that, I'll give you the power to forgive now that you've made up your mind to do it. And that's my challenge to you. You make up your mind to forgive, not because the person deserves it, not because you feel like it, but because God is asking you as a Christian to do it, because God forgave you when you were undeserving, because you want to honor God and live a healthy, functional life for God. You make up your mind, God, I'm going to forgive. Now, for the life of me, I don't know how I'm going to do it, God. You take care of that. But I want to do it. You help me. And I'll tell you, friends, stuff will happen in your life. When I first came to McLean Bible Church, was meeting every week with a guy who's dead now. He's with the Lord. And the fact that I was meeting with him and he's dead don't really have anything to do with each other. So don't be afraid to meet me for lunch or anything. But it just had, they're just coincidental facts. But anyway, we were meeting together. He was an older man of God. And he and I, of course, you know, we talked about a lot of things. And one of the things we talked about was my parents, because my mom was still alive then. And we would chat about my relationship with my mom. Now, I had a Jewish mom. Anybody who's had a Jewish mom here is probably in therapy, because that's what happens when you have a Jewish mom. You've heard the joke. I love to tell it. Maybe I've told it here before, but I can't remember, so I'll tell it again, about the three moms that are sitting together playing cards. And the first mom goes, "Oh, I have the best son." She said, "I have the best son." She said, "My son calls me every single week." Second mom goes, "Eh, you don't have such a great son. I have a great son. My son sends me flowers twice a week. Can you believe that?" Third lady, Jewish lady, says, "You people don't have great sons. I have a great son. Do you know that my son goes to therapy three times a week and all he ever talks about is me?" That's a Jewish mother, friends. I had one of them. And I grew up hating my mother. I hated my mother. She was overbearing. She was rude. She was controlling. And she wanted to snuff out my life, is how I saw it. She didn't want to give me any freedom whatsoever to be a person. She wanted me to be the little person in her little box. And I despised my mother. We have never gotten along since the time I can remember. Every opportunity to avoid her that I could think of, I took advantage of. And when we'd go be with her, I could take about one day, maybe 36 hours, and that's it. I got to go. So this man said to me, "You know your problem?" I hate it when people start a sentence like that. "You know your problem?" He said, "You need to forgive your mother." I said, "No, I don't think that's my problem at all." No, just if I don't see her, we're fine. He goes, No. The bigger issue here, man, there's a spiritual issue here. You are never going to be what God has made you to be till you forgive your mother. I said, "Hey, pal, listen, you didn't have a Jewish mother. You don't know what living with that woman was like. You don't know the hurt that this woman caused me. I don't think I could forgive her if I wanted to." And he kept beating on me and beating on me and beating on me till finally I began to realize, you know, he's probably right. I need to forgive my mother. And I'll never forget praying. This is back in about 1982, 1983. I'll never forget praying, "God, I don't even know if I can forgive my mother. I honestly don't. I've never tried, never wanted to try. But I can really see why this is important. And I really see I've got no option. Colossians 3 applies to my mother, as much as I hate to admit it. So God, I'm willing to forgive my mother if you'll work in my life and somehow give me the supernatural resources to do it, because I don't have them." You say, "What happened?" All I can tell you is little by little by little over the next couple of years, and I can't explain exactly how God did it, but over the next couple of years, I found my attitude changing towards my mom from one of hatred to one of compassion, from one of disgust to one of pity. I began to realize my mom was a victim herself. Her parents treated her that way. All she did was pass on to me the victimization that had been passed on to her. And that instead of hating her, I need to pity her, and I needed to have compassion on this woman. And I don't know how that happened except to say God did it. And within a couple of years, I had reached the place where I had forgiven my mother. I hadn't told her yet, but I had. And then one time I was down in Atlanta in about 1985, and we'd had a party, and she and I were the last two. The party was over. Everybody gone home. I was helping her clean up. And she said to me, she'd had a little bit too much to drink too, but she said to me, she said, "You've always hated me your whole life, haven't you?" And I thought, whoa, where's this from? But I'd been looking for a chance to have a conversation with my mom. And so I thought, here it is, God. So I said, "Yeah, I have hated you my whole life." She said, "I knew it. I knew you hated me." I said, "Well, you're right. First thing I can think of you've been right on in recent memory. You're right. I said, but Mom, I got to tell you something. She said, well, why did you hate me? I said, well, I'll tell you why. Because you snuffed the life out of me. You controlled me. You dominated. I mean, you know, I gave her the whole thing. And I said to her, but you know what? I got to tell you something. It wasn't okay then, but it's okay now. It's really okay now because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life. It's okay. And I gave her a big hug, and it's the first time I've hugged my mom in 25 years. I wouldn't have hugged her before that, except she made me. You know how that goes. You know, give me a hug. So I gave her a hug. But this was a genuine hug. This was a hug because I wanted to hug my mom. It was one of the most fabulous moments of my life. My mom eventually came to Christ a few years later. And I'm convinced that a major part of that was that conversation and that cleansing of our relationship. Was a big part of my mom coming to Christ. How did God do that in my life? Can't tell you, except when I made up my mind, I wanted to forgive in obedience to God. God took the poison out of the wound. He took the pus out the wound. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And if you got pus in your wound, I want to tell you something. God, the author of supernatural hydrogen peroxide. You understand? And he can put it in the wound and take the pus out, folks, if you want him to. That's my challenge to you. Who is it when I say you hate them? Who is it when I say I'm not forgiving them? Whose face comes up on the screen, huh? Well, if nobody's face does, hey, that's great. That's great. But if somebody's face comes up, then God's asking you, forgive the way the Lord forgave you. It's an act of your will. You can do it if you want to because you've got a supernatural God committed to helping you. And I want to challenge you guys. Don't let bitterness screw up your life. Don't let bitterness defile you and lots of other people. Let the cycle stop with you. Maybe it went through your grandparents and through your parents, but let the cycle be broken with you. Break it, and you can do it. With the supernatural power of Jesus Christ working in your life. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to give you just a moment to do business with God if you need to. Now, maybe everybody here doesn't need to, but some of us do. And if when I say the word hate or I say the word lack of forgiveness, if that brings somebody's face up on the screen, then right now I want you to decide whether or not you choose to begin forgiving them. We may not be able to complete it all tonight. It took me 2 years. But you got to start somewhere with a decision of your will. God, in obedience to you, I want to forgive them. I want to bury it, Lord, and I want it to be gone. If that's your commitment, I want you to take a moment and you tell God that and ask for his help. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you forgave us when we were undeserving. Thank you that Christ demonstrated his love for us and that while we were yet his enemies, Romans chapter 5 says, he died for us. And now, Lord, you tell us to forgive others just the way you forgave us. And Father, I want to pray for everybody here tonight who in those quiet moments just a minute ago, made a decision of their will to say, God, I don't know if I can. I don't know how to. I'm not sure I can make it. But I want to forgive. If you're asking me to, Lord, I'm willing to try. Mm-hmm. And Father, I want to pray that you would give them hope tonight. hope that you are the God who dispenses supernatural hydrogen peroxide. And you can take pus out of any wound if we're willing to let you do it. So Lord, may this be a real victory night for some people. A night when they make the U-turn in their relationship with a mom or a dad, a brother or a sister, an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend, an old husband or an old wife, a friend that betrayed them. May it be a night when we make a U-turn and say, I want to dig that grave. I want to put the hurt in it. I want to cover it up, put that tombstone on it, and declare it dead and gone forever. Help me, Lord. Help me. And I know you will help them, Lord. And I ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, one more thing. Can I say this before I'm done? You know, a lot of times we think we've forgiven people and we're sure we've dealt with it. And then all of a sudden something happens and wham, it's like it just flares up all over again. That happens. You say, well, what do you do then? Man, you just go right back through the same steps and you bury it again. That's what you do. And that there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean that you didn't really forgive the first time. That's just part of being human. So you bury it again. And you may have to bury something 3 or 4 times before it stays there. But that's okay. I hope this will be a real U-turn, a real turning point tonight in your relationships with some people. And I hope God will liberate you and free you tonight from bitterness that probably in some cases has been going on for years in your life and really been screwing you up. Hey, God can liberate you if you'll just give him the chance, and I hope you'll do that. God bless you. Thanks.